Hey, everybody. God bless you. I hope you're having a fantastic week. Well, I've got some announcements to share with you, and then we're going to get into the Word for a few minutes. I'm assuming that's what you're here for. Praise God. Well, we've got this this coming Friday, which is July 18th, right? July 18th, we are having a concert. We're having Anthony Brown and Group Therapy doing a concert at Living Faith. Woohoo! I want us to pack the place out Friday night. The doors open at 6. The concert begins at 7. And we're actually running a special. If you purchase 3 or more tickets, you'll get one ticket free at the door. And of course, you have to show proof of purchase. So that's going on right now. You can purchase tickets at www.lfccnj.com. Okay, so I'm excited about this concert and just getting together with everybody, just worshiping the Lord and praising God all in one place. So again, let's pack this place out. Also, join us for 40 days of prayer, praise, and inspiration starting today. We actually started today with a daily inspirational post on our social media page for the next 40 days. So what we're doing is we're celebrating 40 years within 40 days. And that starts today and it ends on Sunday, August 24th. So let me tell you what we've got coming up. So we've got the daily inspirational post, which will be every day. We're kicking off with the concert this coming Friday, July 18th, with Anthony Brown. And we're having some guest speakers for the next 5 Sundays. Well, not this Sunday. Let me find my dates. Starting July 27th. So starting July 27th, we're going to have Minister Marsha Washington come and share the word with us. On August the 3rd, we're having Minister Henry Hall. August 10th, we're going to have Dr. Mark Barkley, the prophet, come in and speak to us and minister to us. On August 17th, we're having Minister Merlon Devine. He's an anointed saxophonist, so he's coming in to play with us. In addition to that, same Sunday, we're having Andrew Walls and his band play for us as well on August 17th. And then I'll share a word of inspiration for all of us. And then on August 24th, we are having Helen Trowbridge come and share the word of God and share in our celebration. Again, we're celebrating 40 days within 40 years within 40 days. I'll get my stuff right. So we are celebrating 40 years of God's goodness. God has been good to me. He's been good to us. He's been good to Living Faith Christian Center. Amen. And he's good to Dr. Lamont. Of course, he's not here, but he was good to him here on earth as well. So God is a good God. And we're going to be having some giveaways, some surprise giveaways starting every Sunday on July 27th. All right. So come and join us. Come and join us. Also, the men's ministry will continue sharing on this theme, I Am More Than a Conqueror. So all men ages 16 and older, please come. You're invited to join in on the Conqueror Series workshops. It's happening. The next one is happening Saturday, July 26th at 10 a.m. So come out and bring a friend. Bring someone with you as you step away from the noise and receive encouragement from the brothers. Amen. In God's word. Attention, all married couples. Saturday, July 19th workshop has been rescheduled for Saturday, August 16th. Let me repeat that. All married couples, the Saturday marriage workshop that was going to be held July 19th has been rescheduled for Saturday, August 16th. So please mark your calendars accordingly. Heavenly Father, we just thank you and we praise you, God. We thank you that you're not good for just 40 years. You're good every day. You're eternally good. And we just thank you and we bless you. We appreciate you, Heavenly Father. We just thank you that we are such a blessed people. We thank you that you take care of us. You watch over us. You empower us. You heal us. You're concerned about everything that concerns us, and you're such a great Father. We just bless you. Holy Spirit, I thank you for being here tonight. Use my mind, use my mouth to minister to your people. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, I wanted to piggyback. I think it was on June 18th. I wanted to kind of piggyback off of that and just to encourage you in the Lord. Amen. So let me just get this right here. Make sure I get it right. I wanted to read 2 Chronicles 16:9, okay? And this is one of my motivating factors. You know, as a pastor, I want everybody to be included. Whatever God is doing, whatever he wants to do, however he's moving, I want all of us included. And that's me as a pastor. As a pastor, I don't think that we should have bench warmers, pew warmers. God wants everybody involved in his work because we've all been called by him. And God wants to use all of us. 2 Chronicles 16:9, it says that the eyes of the Lord search to and fro over all the earth. Let me find the whole thing right here. Run to and fro throughout the whole earth to give strong support to those whose heart is blameless towards him. And so another version says that the eyes of the Lord search to and fro throughout the whole earth, looking for someone who he can show himself strong in. What I'm talking about today, the topic continuing talking about today, is God wants to show himself strong. You know, we don't have to be self-conscious. We don't have to feel inadequate about ourselves because God's into showing himself strong. He knows our limitations. He knows what we can do, what we can't do, right? But the big deal is he wants to show himself strong in your life and in my life. So I'm going to start off, go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, starting in verse 26. And it says, "For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh," we just talked about the flesh on Sunday, "how not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised has God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are." Verse 29 is a good verse, "that no flesh should glory in his presence." Amen. And when on June 18th, I came from the perspective of God choosing the foolish things, right? And the word foolish, it comes from the word morenos, and it depicts somebody who is, it's where you get one of the word moron, amen? So Paul is saying here, he said, God will use what the world calls morons, what the world calls stupid. Has anybody ever called you stupid in your past? Has anybody ever called you foolish? The word foolish is things, it's describing someone who is made fun of, someone who's been made a laughingstock. Back then, Christians were made a laughingstock. We're still in that, have that scenario going on. We got entertainment, music, comedy, making fun of Christians, you know, like Christians are morons, right? So Paul is encouraging us in that he's saying that God likes to use what the world calls foolish to confound the wise. Amen? And so, you know, we've been talking about the grace of God. The grace of God enables us to do and to be and to have what God has created us to be, created us to do, created us to have. Amen? So so we found out the last time that, you know, that we shouldn't let anyone tease us. We shouldn't, or actually he, when he was talking about the disciples in Acts, in the book of Acts, they looked at Peter, let me see here. In Acts 4:13, they looked at Peter and John, and they could tell, the leaders could tell, the educated people, they could tell that Peter and John were uneducated men, but they could not deny that God was using them. Guess what? God wants to use us. What I'm saying is we don't have to be smart. We don't have to be great. In fact, God specializes in using people who seem to be common in the world's eyes, people who are just standard, people who are considered morons. You know, again, people have been called different things as they were growing up, and those words have never left you, called you stupid, called you dumb, called you ugly, called you goofy, you know, awkward, you know, different kinds of things. You'll never amount to anything. Well, all that stuff is a lie. That's not the, that is not the testify, the testimony that God has given to his people. Amen. And so it says here, it says, for you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble. Now that word noble there, it means people of high status, people of, you know, they used to call people that they were purebred or upper class, upper crust. And so Paul is sharing with the Corinthians that, you know, God likes to use people that the world calls foolish. And very rarely, we need to understand that very rarely does he call people that are considered wise and considered mighty in the world's eyes. So that word noble means, it's from the Greek word eugenes, and it means people who have excellent genes, people or people who are well born according to the world. Hey, it's according to a bloodline. You have a noble or royal bloodline. Well, guess who has a noble and royal bloodline now? We do, because of the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus has cleansed us, amen, and made us the righteousness of God in Christ. So actually, we could consider ourselves noble, spiritually speaking, but according to the flesh, Paul is saying that God rarely calls these people who were upper class, upper crust. You know, they were talking about kings, they were talking about queens, they were talking about politicians. As a matter of fact, the word mighty there, that many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. That word mighty, it comes from the Greek word dunatos, and it means able, powerful, strong. It means mighty in wealth and influence. Now, when we trust God and trust in his kingdom and his the finances of the kingdom, we can increase in that area with wealth and influence. But in this case, it's referring to the mighty according to the world. And it's people here, especially in Corinth, it meant people with political power, right? So Paul is saying, look, God doesn't call many people. You know, God doesn't call famous people as a regular deal. Of course, he can call everybody, and anyone can be born again, no matter what your status is. But Paul is saying that's not the norm. The norm is that God will call somebody, use somebody who the world considers foolish, to confound. That word confound, it means to put to shame. It means to confuse. It means to embarrass. It means to frustrate or to baffle. Let me read my notes here. So what does, who does God want to baffle? Who does God want to baffle by using you or using me? I think about how, you know, of course, you know our testimony, Dr. Lamont. He was a stutterer. He was laughable to the world. I was a nobody, right? I didn't come from royalty. He didn't come from royalty. So we were just regular people. And in some ways, according to the world, you know, according to the those who are noble or mighty, we were just low-level people. But what I want us to see today is God specializes. He doesn't specialize in calling the noble and using the noble. He does. Of course, he can use everybody. But God specializes in using people like us. And we need to know that. We need to understand that. We've been talking about identifying with Christ because we need to stop making up excuses why God cannot or will not use us. Paul is opening the door to every Christian here, whether they're noble. He says, he didn't say God never used them. He's basically saying he rarely calls them, not many, it says. God doesn't use many mighty, many noble. So that means God wants to use people who are considered of low blood or low genes, you know, versus somebody who is royalty. And then verse 27, but God has chosen the foolish things. Somebody say, that's me. That's foolish means for a lot of us, it was laughable, you know. And he uses the foolish things of the world to confound or to frustrate, to embarrass, put to shame, to frustrate the wise. Right? That's what God wants to do with us. Amen? And that word, the word weak, it means base, it means feeble, it means puny, it means powerless, which, you know, is most of our testimonies. Again, we didn't come from anywhere special, right? We weren't famous. Most of us weren't. We weren't famous. We weren't wealthy. We weren't powerful politicians. We weren't the blood of kings. We didn't have kings and queens in our bloodline, at least not recently, in recent generations. But God is saying he will use us, being considered weak. The word weak there, It refers to something that is substandard, second rate. Come on, y'all. Anybody ever called you, considered you? You ever been treated like you were second rate, low grade, inferior, right? Come on. Most of us, a lot of us, have been considered those things. Again, laughable. You know, they laughed at Dr. Lamont, because he stuttered. When he was growing up. And of course, later on, God used him and the foolishness of his stuttering and corrected it and healed it. And God used him like he wants to use us, all of us. Amen. God wants to use all of us. He is searching. It says that the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth. Let's forget about all of our excuses and let God use as many of us as possible. Amen? Praise the Lord. So let's look at David. I want to look at David for a minute. David, he was this young boy, right? He was this young boy, and God used him. He was a youth. The Bible said he was ruddy. It says that Goliath, when David showed up and said, this is, you know, he he said, this is who you send to fight me, the champion of the Philistines. And he laughed at David. Amen. Again, how many of us are laughable, you know, or have been laughable, where people made fun of us? You know, all of us have been made fun of at some point, sometime in our lives, whether it was before Christ or since Christ, receiving Christ. But David, he went up against Goliath, but David was the one that God had chosen. We have to act like God has chosen us. Amen. He didn't make excuses. He came swiftly and boldly to defeat Goliath. So what did God do? By choosing David, little David, laughable David, weak-looking David, God chose to use him mightily. And what did he do? By God using David, by David defeating Goliath, confounded, it baffled, it embarrassed his older brothers who were in the army, right? David wasn't even old enough to serve in the army. God used David to baffle King Saul, right? He was King Saul, yet and still King Saul had to stand there or crouch there, whatever he did watching David, to see David defeat Goliath, right? So God used David, little David, right? Young David, inexperienced at war David, right? At this point, to defeat a giant, to defeat someone that had taunted them for days and days, and it confounded everybody, right? So again, God wants to use us to confound. Who does God want to confound using you? Maybe you'll get that manager's job when somebody else should have gotten it. Maybe you'll get the principal's job when somebody else, another candidate, their mother was a principal, an educator, their grandmother was a principal and an educator, you know, but God chooses you. God wants to choose you. But we have to understand that it doesn't matter what our status is. It doesn't always matter what our experience is. Now, of course, we need to know the word. We need to have a relationship with God. We have to live a life that's set apart for God. All those things are a given. But once we're doing those things, we need to just understand that God will. He's looking for people. We can almost say, we could probably say there's a shortage. I remember when Jesus said that to pray for laborers to put in harvest. He said the harvest was plenty, but the laborers are few. I believe it's also the fact that those who will trust God and let God use them are few. And he's got things for us to do. He's got people that he wants us to bless and to affect, right? Suppose you're on your job and you just like to witness to people. Well, let God use that. Don't be embarrassed. Don't think because you don't know all the evangelism scriptures that you can't witness to people. No, if that's what you like to do, just do it and God will use you. And they said, that little guy, that lady, she's getting all these people saved here at work. You know, whatever the assignment, whatever good work that God needs us to do as his people, then we need to trust God to do it. Amen. So God wants to use us to confuse the wise, where they're just standing dumbfounded. They don't know what happened, right? So you know, Ephesians 6:10, it says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Amen. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. What is that saying? So let me just write. Our feelings of inadequacy, our feelings of lack of experience, if we feel weak, right? If we feel unqualified, it actually qualifies us to be used by God. With God, it's cool to be foolish, to look foolish according to the world. God says, well, I can use you. Now, I'm just right what I have here. So our feelings of inadequacy or weakness, they actually qualify us as candidates for God to use to serve him. Amen? Why? Because when God uses goofy you, these are just some things I wrote down. When God uses goofy you, or when God uses regular you, or when God uses uneducated you, or when God uses ex-con you, when God uses nobody you, this is your title. I'm making you goofy. You know, if you're goofy, God can use you. If you're regular, God can use you. If you're uneducated, God can use you. If you're an ex-con, God can use you. If you're a nobody, God can use you. But what the beautiful part is, and how God looks at it as well, of course, he sees us on the inside. But when God uses, it says he uses the foolish things to confound, to baffle, to frustrate, to put to shame the wise. God, and why he rarely uses people who are noble status, because they can their power, their status, their money, their wealth can look like it's them, right? And they take the glory. But when we see ourselves as okay, as regular, as goofy, that God, the big point I want us to see today is God will get the glory. We'll know that was God, by God using you. Say, man, she's a goofy, that's a goofy lady, you know. But you know, when God uses you, they're going to say, that was God. Because I know she can't do that. I know he can't do that in his own strength. Amen? And so God wants to use you. Somebody say, God wants to use me. God wants to use me. I'm going to read, close out here, I want to say this. When God used David, I don't believe he knew exactly what was going to happen, but he believed in God, and he believed in the power of God, and he believed in the covenant of God. And when we believe the same thing about God, when we believe the right thing, that's why we shouldn't allow people calling us names or putting us down. We can't listen to those things, because if we listen to those things, right, then we'll end up with some type of attitude towards God. We'll think that God cheated us. Look, we can only win with God. With God, all things are possible. Amen? So we don't want to underestimate. That's why Paul said, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Forget about your might. Forget about lack of your might. Amen. Forget about your lack of experience or, you know, any of those things. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. God wants to get the glory, right? We read in 29 that no flesh should glory in his presence, right? So we just obey God. We just move in faith, right? We talk in faith, act in faith, and then no flesh will get the glory. I'm going to read out of the Passion Translation, and I'll stop here. And it says, brothers and sisters, verse 26, brothers and sisters, consider who you were when God called you to salvation. Not many of you were wise scholars by human standards, nor were many of you in positions of power. Come on, y'all. That's true. Not many of you were considered the elite when you answered God's call. But God chose those whom the world considers foolish to shame those who think they are wise. And God chose the puny and powerless to shame the high and mighty. He chose the lowly, the laughable, in the world's eyes, nobodies, so that he would shame the somebodies, for he chose what is regarded as insignificant. Hello. For he chose what is regarded as insignificant in order to supersede what is regarded as prominent. Verse 29, so that there would be no place for prideful boasting in God's presence. Hallelujah. And then verse 31 says, if anyone boasts, let him only boast in all that the Lord has done. Come on, let's let the Lord use us. Let's do something with the Lord so we can say, look what the Lord has done. Well, I pray that I have encouraged you in the word. Well, the word is encouraging, period. God is awesome. He's wonderful. He's gracious. He's got a plan, and his plan is to use us. Amen. His people. Praise the Lord. Well, again, this Friday, doors open at 6 p.m. for Anthony Brown and group therapy. Amen. So come out, fill the place, tell people, tell 5 people, 10 people, send them to the website, tag them, whatever. I'm not good in social media, so I don't even know what I'm talking about, but, but you know, tell somebody, send it to somebody. Amen. And, look, how often do we get a concert in this area? So, you know, sometimes we need to stop hemming and hawing. Am I going and am I not going? You know, people are doing that right now. Oh, do I want to pay that much? Look, you pay that much for your nails. You pay that much for, you know, a few lattes during the week. Come to a concert, amen, and get blessed. And I want to see you. Come on, help me celebrate 40 years of ministry and 40 years of God's goodness. All right, I love you. I'll see you Friday.